Blog Talk Radio.
And the episode, that's what I want to do.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
President Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at his feet at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to hell fast. We had an explosion and we are descending and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you can be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on...
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
All right, how's everybody doing tonight? My name is Joseph Gibson. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. I hope everybody's doing okay. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to Bridget and Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford, Connecticut, and all the other mothers out there who are really mothers. You can't say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers who are not mothers. We were supposed to have a guest tonight. Nothing ever works right. I mean, when I do get things working right and I've got a guest all lined up, nobody comes on. I did contact the local Republic of North Carolina, and apparently their site is not the site it's supposed to be. And I sent some emails out to the local people around here, and I requested them for an invitation and appearance on the program, and they sent me back an email saying, good luck. Whatever the hell that means. I said, what the hell are you talking about? So obviously it's not them, or, they're just full of crap, like most people are. You know, we're going to restore the Constitution, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, blah, blah, blah. I know we had one caller, I think it was BitBanker that said, there was a table set out in front of the post office a few years back. They were going to impeach Obama. Well, how did they do? Not too good, did they? So when people are telling you they're going to do something on a worldwide stage, most likely when the, well, it's most definite when they're asking for donations to do it, it's a scam. It's nothing but a scam. When people need money to do what they believe in, when they need money and support to do what they believe in, then most likely it's a scam. They just want your money and then run because nothing's ever going to come of it, okay? So there are organizations out there that collect money and fight for you. Yes, that is true. But they're far few in between. Most of your churches today, I know some of you used to listen to my, when I was on the other network, debating the 501c3 churches. You know, I read off what they're not supposed to talk about in their church. They had no answer for me. Every time I'd ask them a question, they would say, well, this guy said this. This guy said that. John said this. Peter said that. Well, what do you say? You know, they never had an answer. They couldn't, because you want to know why? It's all about the suit, the tie. I look good. I got a brand new car. And you're going to go to heaven if you pay me money. Right? So, like I said, I like to repeat the story. I remember when I went to church when I was, I forget what age. I think I was 17 or whatever. And I wanted to join this church. You know, I heard about it. I went there and the pastor says, well, you're not giving. I said, well, how can I? You know, I said, look, I'm driving a 1979 Mercury Monarch in the year 1991 here, okay? That's leaking oil with four bald tires. You're driving a brand new Toyota pickup truck, okay? You're wearing a suit and tie that probably cost about $700. You're wearing $200 shoes, all right? And who else? What else knows you got in your wardrobe? And you want me to give you money? They never had an answer for me. They tap danced all the way back to the bottom of the line. You know, so anyway, like I said, we were going to try to have a guest scheduled tonight. It didn't work out. So we probably will end up wrapping the show up early tonight. I think the cap is even busy tonight, and I guess, you know, because it's Mother's Day, everybody's probably out at dinner with their mothers and or spending time at home. Most good people are, and are spending time with their children, and, you know, it's just very hard, very, a lot of miscommunication this weekend, and that happens, you know. I know we've had a lot of shows in the past where, you know, we've had some hot topics, and I wanted to address those topics. Like one topic, I've tried to reach out to some of these people to talk about this House Bill 2 issue here in North Carolina, where around the rest of the country it's not an issue, but here in North Carolina it appears to be a very big issue, where the it's a law here in North Carolina that you are unable to use a bathroom. For instance, if I'm a man and I want to walk into a woman's bathroom and use it because I feel like I'm a woman today, which there are people like, listen, this is your transvestites. They call them transsexuals now. I was always taught they were called transvestites. I like that name better. It sounds more pathetic, you know, because that's what they are. They're a pathetic group of people. They're disgusting. I debated with one the other day on YouTube, and I hit him with so much psychology and knowledge and love, they blocked me. So I told him I'd pray for him, you know. You're lost. And what they do is they start spitting at you, calling you names, like most liberals. When they lose, they become angry with you because they have no argument. Their argument is illegitimate. They have no foundation to their argument. So when you come at them with any type of knowledge or inspiration or aspiration or love towards them, they rebel against you because they're convicted of their evil. They know it already. They're wrong. So when someone's wrong, what do? They lash out at you. When someone's caught in the act or caught in a lie, what do? When they know their lies can go no further, what do? They give one last lash out at you, you know? To hell with you, you scumbag. Bleep, 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 bleep. I mean, we see it now with Donald Trump, you know, the supporters. I watched several videos on Donald Trump, not to change the subject, but the Bernie Sanders people, all they know how to do is swear, suck this, suck that, go to hell. You're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. How many Jews did Donald Trump kill? What do you mean he's a Nazi? What do you mean he's a Nazi? What are you talking about? It doesn't matter. I'm calling him a Nazi. You know, they have no argument. They have no foundation. During the last show, we saw how screwed up the world is. I called one of your internet servers at Google. You know, go back and listen to that show. Absolutely nothing was. They stopped sending me emails, though. I haven't received any more emails, and I continue doing what I'm doing. So maybe I made some headway there. I don't know. Maybe they said, leave that guy alone, you know. You never know. He may bother us. He may cost us money in the end. So just leave him alone. Let him keep doing what he's doing. Or they're blocking me. I don't know. The internet's a funny place, you know. You just don't know where the truth is anymore in the internet. But back to the Donald Trump and the transvestites. You know, I'm watching these videos on Donald Trump and the anti-Trumpers, you know, you got these Mexicans out there waving the Mexican flag, with their little language there they got, and hoorah, and whatever the hell they're chanting. And you got women that weigh 300 pounds with a bra on, and their stomach sticking 10 feet out, and they're wearing shorts up their ass. And they look so disgusting, you know, and they're chanting with makeup all around their eyes and Mexico, Mexico. And they want to kill all Trump supporters, you know. Hey, come on. Try it. Come on. Come to my front yard, you Mexicos. Come on. You know, I wish I lived down there by the border. I know there's a war going on the border and you just don't hear about it. All these ranchers out there, let me tell you, they're armed to the teeth. There's a war going on that border, and many people just don't know it. Because there's no border patrol down there. You know what a border patrol is? They're about 90 miles inland, stopping a United States citizen going to work at checkpoints every day. That's where your border patrol is. The Federal Reserve enforcers stopping people. License check, please. Papers, please. Oh, I see your license plate has expired. Pull over there, please. There's a $150 fine, you know. I see, you know, and that maggot feels good at the end of the day. The maggot who wears the badge and uniform because he made money for his boss, the Federal Reserve. I did good. I done good, boss, didn't I? And remember, there's a maximum of law. Big fish always eat little fish. They don't care about them people. They're the puppets out there pulling people over, harassing the everyday citizens. You know, when they should be out there stopping the evil people, the major crimes. But then how could they? When your own government's shipping the drugs into the country. When Wells Fargo Bank is laundering drug cartel money. Well, it's true. Look it up. You know, Bank of America is laundering drug cartel money. You know, so, you know, there's a lot to it. You just don't understand or don't know about. But back to the transvestites, you know, and I've got a couple callers, and I will get to you, I promise, I will, because everyone has a voice on this program, I assure you, I will get to you. But back to the transvestites, and this is what they do. They make this big issue of shock and awe out of an issue that where, what have they been doing all these other years? Has there been a problem with these bathrooms and this bathroom issue before? There has not been. So why all of a sudden today it's such a big issue? I wonder. I wonder why. What? And I, you know, I was listening to a radio show, talk show host this morning, give his opinion on this, and that's what these groups do. They take advantage of a moment in time when the media is distracted by other issues, and they use this moment to promote their agenda, even though their agenda did not have to be promoted. Because like I said, 5 years ago, there was no problem in North Carolina with the bathrooms. Nobody was getting arrested in bathrooms. Nobody cared, you know. But anyway, I want to get to my first caller who's been waiting. I've got about 5 callers on the line. So I'm going to go to the first one that's been waiting the longest. Area code 612. I'm going to go ahead and connect you. Yes, area code 612, last 4 digits. Your number is 3103. Go ahead. You're live.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, sir.
Yeah, great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
I had a question for you. Are you like an atheist or an agnostic or anything like that? Or?
I'm a Baptist, actually.
Oh yeah, okay. So you are. So were you basically born in a Christian family, or did you become a Christian at some point, or how did that?
I became a Christian after I survived my first murder attempt on my life, and I saw death, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ after that, and I became a Baptist, and I studied theology for about 10 years, cults, and many other different types of religion, but I'm not involved in a religion, sir. I'm a rightly dividing Bible-believing Christian, which means that I'm not a part of any type of group or denomination. I'm a non-denominational believer, okay?
After that experience, like, what exactly, did you see something when you had that situation happen, or was it just sort of like a, like, well, what led you from that whole murder attempt to decide to become a Christian?
Well, what do you mean, did I see something? Did I see some type of angels coming down and touch me? I mean, what do you mean, did I see something?
The way you described it, it sounded like, I don't know if did you mean by the murder attempt, like you had a near-death experience, or was it like I don't know.
I had a near-death experience, yes. I felt like I was going to die. And by the way, just for the record, I survived 2 murder attempts. There's a book written about my life, actually. So, yeah, I survived 2 murder attempts and near-death, actually. Both times I almost died. And, I saw death. Did I go over to the other side and see Jesus Christ appear for me? No. Did I stand before God? No. Did I see some big vision of light? No. But I did feel death, and I knew there was peace on the other side.
Okay, so was it, I mean, I'm just trying to understand, so was it like a spiritual thing? Like, were you sensed that God was real, therefore you decided it, or was it, like, prior to that, I'm guessing, were you an atheist, or were you just sort of a secular, neutral person, or what was your position prior
I always believed there was something out there, a higher power that created us. I don't believe we came from a monkey or a fish. Something had to create us because life is so real, and every individual and every human being has a conscience. Okay, and I believe that person's conscience is your soul telling you what's right or wrong. Now we have free will. And that goes against our conscience sometimes. And I did that. I was actually a very bad person. And, it was, I felt goodness and a chance to go to the other side as a good person. Now, was I given another opportunity at life? I believe so. And many people have told me that. And, it's a spiritual thing. And, after that, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, I studied theology for years and years because I wanted to make sure I was believing in the right thing. And the only logical conclusion I can come to through years of studies, looking at documentation, talking to other people, going to seminars, watching many things, videos on the internet. Listen, we live in the information age. I take advantage of that. I read a book a day for many days. Okay. And many years. And the only logical conclusion I can come up with is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the right way to go. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And so that's what I came about. But what's the foundation of your question, or where are you going with this, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, because the reason I brought that up is especially well, I noticed on Blog Talk in particular, and you probably noticed this as well, that there's a lot of people that have like an anti-Christian sort of slant to a lot of their shows. And especially when we talk about stuff that's still with current events. And I notice a lot of people try to, you know, I've probably heard this as well, where people try to make it seem as if religion is the actual problem in the world. And, you know, we need to get rid of the organized religion and all this. So I was just fascinated. I just wanted to see what your position was on that, if you were a part of that camp, so to speak.
Part of that camp, but what you're saying is so true. You're right. You're absolutely correct. And isn't that prophesied in the Bible? That in the end times that people will rise up against the Christians or the Christian belief. You know, I don't like to call myself a Christian because Christianity has a big name. And a lot of Christians have done a lot of horrific things throughout the years, especially the Catholic Church. Okay, so right. I don't like to call myself a Christian. But I consider myself as a Bible believer. Like I said, I've studied it. We don't have to go back into that. But, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And doesn't the Bible tell us this? I mean, after all, when you read the Bible, there are over 400 prophecies that have been fulfilled over the last 400 years. And there are no other prophecies to be fulfilled. I mean, look at the land, not to go into a big historical lesson here, but look at the country of Israel. When in the history of the world was a country completely destroyed and all of a sudden reappeared back on the map? When? Nowhere. Never.
Right.
And that was prophesied in the Bible. But, I mean, what's your personal opinion? I mean, where do you come from? You've heard my personal opinion. I mean, where do you come from on this? What's your stand?
Yeah, I used to be a real hardcore atheist and basically like a socialist as well. And I used to be a person that used to hate religion and Christianity, anything that had to do with God with a passion. And I became a born-again Christian a couple of years ago when I had sort of a spiritual encounter. So I'm always fascinated to whenever I talk to people and just, you know, especially when someone tells me that they are a Christian, I always love to get, like, find out how did they become a Christian? Was it something that, you know, the Lord kind of revealed himself to them, or they had a spiritual encounter, or were they just raised, you know, a lot of people are just raised Christians in a Christian home.
Yeah,
that's why they are.
That's correct.
You know?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And that's why I didn't lie to you. I could have said, yeah, I died and I went to heaven, blah, 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 because I have medical records that prove I almost died. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I know what I felt. I know what I saw. And, yeah, that was one of the main reasons why when I was confined that I decided to, you know, accept the Lord Jesus. But at that time, I still had questions, you know, and I still do today. We all do, you know, but you have to have faith and you have to understand, you know, you have to rightly divide the word, you know, as a workman approved unto God. You have to understand, you have to rightly divide the Bible. Remember, when you read a book, you don't start in the middle. You got to start at the beginning and go to the end. And if you still don't understand it, read it again. And the Bible answers itself, like I said, you know, I'm not trying to promote the Bible right now on this show. What I'm saying is it's fact of what I know. Not maybe what you know or anyone else knows on this program that's listening tonight. I'm just saying what I know through my personal studies. But to the main topic, because I always let everyone ask the questions they want. In my opening, I talked about this North Carolina agenda. What's your opinion on this bathroom issue that we're having in North Carolina with transsexual community that feels that they should be able to use any bathroom they feel they want to use?
I think it's just a small thing in a bigger scheme as far as I think you probably agree to this too. I think in the last 10 to 20 years, there's been a concerted effort by a certain portion of America that has been trying to basically push America away from its sort of Christian foundation. Because, you know, 30, 40 years ago, this would never even be allowed to even be an issue because America has such a strong Christian called moral framework that homosexuals, quote unquote, need to have rights was totally rejected. And it should be, because let's just think about the situation. Homosexuals are probably, what, 1-2% of the population at the most?
Less than that. 0.8%. 0.8%
right,
of the population.
Exactly. So they're like this tiny, and the media would make you think that they're half the population if you watch the news. Like, they make it seem as if, you know, we're exploiting this hard. And I want to add one thing to this thing, too, because like myself, I'm African, so I always get upset when I see homosexuals try to use their situation and compare it to the civil rights movement of the 60s. And I'm like, well,
you're absolutely correct. You know what my argument is on that? You know what my argument is that? I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You know what? An African-American or a Hispanic individual or Asian, you know what? They were born the way they were. And homosexual, that's a choice. That's a choice. Okay? So why? You're right. That should not be compared to the civil rights movement. They should never claim that.
And not only that, the other thing, too, I find interesting is that, like, even if someone were to say, well, people are born gay, which I disagree with, but even if they were to say that, at the end of the day, no one has to know you're homosexual unless you tell them, right? Like, I can't hide
That's
the fact
right.
that I'm black or an Asian or Hispanic or a white person. It's evident that everyone can see it. But when you're homosexual, the only reason we know about it is because you're telling us about your personal, you know, personal life. And even, you know,
That's absolutely
going
correct.
Back
yeah.
to, you know, a couple of decades ago, people were homosexual in America back, you know, 40, 50 years ago. But people at least had the decency of knowing if you do stuff, whatever you do, just keep it to yourself. We don't need to know about it. But we live in this
That's
culture
right.
today where
you're so correct. You know, you're so correct. You're so correct. You know what? Whatever you do in the privacy of your own home, I support. Hey, that's you. Whatever you want to do, I don't hate you for that. But when you're walking out in the street saying, hey, you have to respect me because I'm doing this, that goes against the foundations of what this country was founded on. And you're right. You were born African American. You were born this way. You should not be discriminated against by the way you were born. I agree with you 100% because that's you. And you should be given equal opportunity, equal rights. Yes, I do agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, as a Christian, I think we both agree that I feel like God's way of looking at it in the sense that God is concerned only with things that you and I have control over. So what family you're born to, whatever your ethnicity is, where you're from, all these things, in my opinion, are irrelevant to an individual because, like you said, none of us have a choice in those issues. Like you didn't choose to be born in the family or the color or the whatever status your family was born into, those things God basically put you into. But what we do have control over is what our choices are in life. How we handle things, how we treat other people, right? And I feel
That's
like
correct.
Homosexuals, though, in this culture, you have to understand, America went from a culture that believed in moral absolutes, that there was such thing as, you know, that there was a mind prior to the human mind which actually designed ethics, morality, that being God. Therefore, morals and ethics were concrete and they didn't waver depending on person to person or culture. But today, through the efforts of the liberals and through their efforts in both the universities and through the media, they've shifted everyone to believe in moral relativism. And for those who don't know what that is, that's basically saying this idea that you and I differ moral frameworks and neither of us are either right or wrong. It's just sort of a preference, like your favorite flavor of ice cream. And because they've pushed this agenda since the 60s, the U.S. has completely shifted to that. So now when you talk to people more oftentimes say, well, oh, what's right is right to you. It's fine, but I may have a different opinion, and that's okay, and boom, boom, boom. Therefore, now there's no such thing as universal morality. So now homosexuality can be okay to one person, and it can be rejected by another, whereas 40, 50 years ago, it was uniformly accepted across the country that homosexuality was immoral. But today, they're trying to convince everyone that it's acceptable. But not only do we have to tolerate, it's one thing to tolerate, which is what we did in the past. They're trying to convince and say we have to say it's morally acceptable, which is
that's right.
part of their
that's
agenda,
right.
you know?
That's wrong. You're absolutely correct. You hit the nail on the head there. You're absolutely right. We can tolerate it, but why are we being forced to say, hey, it's okay, you know, I support it. Whatever you need, come into my home, you know, I absolutely agree with you. That is so correct. And that was a good way of explaining it, actually. And you're right, 50 years ago. And that's why we're in decline in this country. And look, obviously you're an African-American in this country. Just if you don't mind, who are you supporting, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Just, you know, for the heck of it.
Oh, I'm 100% behind Donald Trump.
that without
well,
a doubt.
That's obvious in the way you're speaking.
Right, because I think it needs. I need to say this is that before I was a Christian in 2009, when I was an atheist, I was a hardcore liberal. I was about as left as you can possibly get. I was pretty much I could say I was a communist right at the time. And
yeah.
When I became a born again Christian, the Lord completely did a 180 on my whole worldview, and I went from hardcore left to all the way to the right. And it wasn't through study or anything that came about. That was just from a spiritual thing where God just shifted the way I saw things. And people have to understand, when I was a liberal, it was because, you know, I was a byproduct of the public education and what I learned in the universities and the media. And looking back, I was brainwashed by all that stuff. I was brainwashed
That's
by
right.
how the media and what we were taught in school, and especially when I went to university, it was just, I mean, every single professor on university campuses are hardcore liberals that are just using the universities as an indoctrination camp to turn the younger generation to the left.
Except because you attended a university, that's good to listen to someone like you. Why do you think that is? Why do you think every professor, and I agree with you, I've encountered that myself. Why? Why are they so liberal? I mean, why? I just don't understand. In your opinion, what do you think?
Actually, this is actually going to be interesting too, because I was in university when I became a Christian, right? And I remember going in, and the Lord actually showed me this. It's hard to explain how, but he kind of put this thought in my mind. I was in a class. I was in a political class at the time, and the Lord literally put in my I can't even. It's weird, but I actually engaged in sort of a mini debate with the professor, and I said to them, "You guys are all at pushing your liberal agenda on all of us for a political purpose that would benefit you all in the long run." And I said, "Where's the primary source of income from the government for the major education, for public education, for the universities? It's from the Democrats. And so it would be beneficial for your part to get as many people leaning to the left as possible, because it benefits you politically in the long run. Therefore, you're basically using your platform not to educate us for our own benefit, but to benefit your group politically. And that's the whole purpose of what you're doing. And you're all part of that Hal Selinsky group from the 60s who basically are, you know, closet communists who learned from his book, Rules of Radicals, which was a book, by the way, that both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both read and were both huge fans of that guy. They were basically his disciples if you study their history. And he taught basically how communists can subtly and in an almost underground way, influence America to become more and more of a socialist country. And I really suggest a lot of people get that book and read it, because if you see the things he suggested in the 60s, things he said as of today, as far as how they've undermined a lot of things through, you know, education and the media. And I said, this is exactly what you guys are doing. And the professor just looked at me with jaw hit the ground and couldn't even respond, because it was the truth. And the whole class, we kind of all shifted and realized what was going on, and that's what they're doing. And they think they're slick, but, you know, God in his mercy is opening people's minds to the truth. And yeah, I want to congratulate you, too, on being part of that movement of getting the truth out. And like the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So now more people are, you know, bringing light to what's going on, and they're exposing it so that people can come out of this stuff, you know. And I appreciate
yeah, man.
What you're
yeah,
doing.
Man. We are seeing a turning point right now. This could be our last awakening. You're absolutely correct, because God, like you just said, God does give us free will, and we can have an awakening in this country and exalt this nation that is righteous. I mean, you know, so we really need to return. We're having an awakening. But we are battling against such hardcore evil, and that has deeply rooted in our culture today, and it's because in a way we as Christians have let down our guard. We allowed this to happen. Like you said, 50 years ago, people were arguing about men using women's bathroom. It wouldn't even be an issue, man. Wouldn't even be an issue. They would have been shut down right away.
Yeah.
The media wouldn't even be talking about it, you know? And, hey, you're always welcome to call into the program. I appreciate your opinion. You're well-spoken. You seem like you're knowledgeable, very educated. and I respect your point of view. Even if you didn't agree with me, I would still respect you because that's how I am on this program. But I'm glad that you're able to educate my listeners tonight. If there's anything else you got to add, go right ahead. But otherwise, I have to get to another caller, okay?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on. I appreciate you giving me the time, and it's a great show, and I'll definitely be listening in the future. So I guess with that, have a nice night, and God bless.
God bless you too, sir, and by all means, yeah, call in anytime you wish, and I promise I will get to you. You're obviously very well-educated and well-spoken, and you gave us a good lesson tonight, actually. You said it better than I can, in a way. So God bless. Take care. Let me get to my next caller. This is Mike from Wisconsin. I'm going to go ahead and connect you right now, Mike. Hopefully I can get you on. Mike, can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mike, how you doing tonight? Yes, Mike,
hey.
From the state of Wisconsin. How you doing?
A lot better. Like to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and like to say happy Mother's Day to my mother. And, you know, even though she's not here, you know, I hope she's listening. One thing you were talking about, Joe, when you started the program, you were talking about the election and Donald Trump and everything, and then this gentleman came on. What a nice man he is. Boy, if we had a couple hundred thousand of that of him on the earth, this would sure be a better place to live.
Yeah, right. If we had, yeah, that's right. And that's the point he was trying to make also, is that, you know, and that's what we do on this program, is we're trying to make people understand the times in which we live in today. And you're right. We're going to come. Listen, we've had people call me an idiot, a jackass, Howard Stern, this and that. I don't know how I'm a Howard Stern. I don't talk about pornography. But I receive hate mail. And all that, and we've gone over that, you know, and we are uniting with other Blog Talk shows to get the truth out, because alternative media is the only place you're going to get the truth. You're not going to get it from Fox News. You're not going to get it from CNN. Remember, they pay the people that come on there and they interview to say what they want to have to be said, you know, and if you're invited in on it as a guest, what do you get? If you ever watch these interviews, it's like a two-minute circus where they're talking and they have an earphone piece and they're like, it's silly. If you watch these interviews, they're just playing silly. But anyway, Mike, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, go ahead. Tell me what's on your mind tonight and go forward, please.
Well, I guess what's on my mind is, okay, the election has basically wound down to two people, okay? It's going to be Clinton against Trump. And what is really upsetting me, especially Speaker of the House that only lives probably 30 miles from my house, Paul Ryan.
Oh, really? Paul Ryan lives in Wisconsin? I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. He lives about 30 miles from me.
Okay.
He, you know, he was over here in Burlington on Friday. Morning, and, you know, doing those roundabouts to all the people, you know, talking to them. And I guess the nightly news caught him. And they showed him standing in front of the Burlington lake there with its waterfall and everything. And, you know, and he's saying that he's not ready to endorse Trump. Well, there's only one Republican running, okay? And this is time for unity. This isn't time for, you know, I'm mad because, you know, such and such didn't win.
Mike, it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about right and wrong. Hillary is wrong. She's committed crimes. We know her family and what they've done. Yeah, Clinton, when he first started out, we had hopes, and he did seem like a good president in the beginning, but look what happened. The scandals, and we finally found out the truth about the Clintons. You know, the truth was revealed. And we all know the Bushes, they're criminals. We knew that already. But here we are, we have Donald Trump, and people say Republican, Republican. You know, it's not about that. It's about people, people. And that's what Trump, I think, is trying to do. He told everybody, look, we don't need this GOP support. We'll win this thing without them. I like that. You know?
Yes.
Right. You know, I do.
Well, we need somebody in there that is not going to run in the same track, you know, like Amtrak runs on, you know, time and time again. You know, we need somebody in there like we need another Ronald Reagan. We need somebody in there that you know, the day he gets elected, all our hostages.
No, you know what we need, Mike? You know what we need, Mike? Ronald Reagan was yes. He said all the right things. You're right. And he did do pretty good by the country. However, he was still, in the end, a part of the establishment. Because after they blew a hole in his chest, he finally realized, hey, it ain't worth it. You know what we
yeah.
need? We need another JFK. We need another John F. Kennedy. That man right there stood for the rights of the people. And he was in a time, the 1960s, when this country was in transition and actually doing the right thing. Like our last caller, he's an African American, so he would understand this. You know, in the 1960s, this was a transitional point, and JFK was a hero for the civil rights movement, and he believed, you know, and he was going to abolish the Federal Reserve, the most evil monopoly we have on this country today, the Federal Reserve system. And look what happened to JFK; got his head blown off, you know. And I believe still to this day, the driver turned around and put a bullet in his head. That's why his wife tried jumping out of the car. I mean, I wasn't there, but I've watched some of the videos, and that's what I saw. But anyway, I believe we need another JFK. Or if you want to go back further in history, Mike, you want to look at another great president, Andrew Jackson. He was the only president to pay off the debt to the Rothschilds. You know, the central bankers. And what was his campaign slogan? No bank. And we all know what's the most important thing in our country today? Money. We all got to make a living. We all got to pay our bills. We all got to work. We all got to pay our car payment. You know, and we all, I mean, after all, money makes the world go round. That's what we barter with. That's what we, you know, and if our money is no good, that's what the Federal Reserve is doing, and that's what it has done, then we have unhappy people, and we have poor neighborhoods, we have rich neighborhoods, we have middle class. Why can't we have one class of neighborhoods? Why can't we have everyone bartering at the same level throughout the country? Why do we have to have the poor, the middle, the upper middle, the lower middle, and the rich? Why cannot, and I'm not saying this should be forced upon the people, because that's socialism. What I'm saying is, why can't we have all the equal opportunity that we are supposed to have according to our Constitution? We're all supposed to have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But today, we can't do that because we are restrained by the restrictions and the regulations of this criminal government. I mean, you, Mike, were a dairy farmer out in Wisconsin. You saw this the most. How the farmers were wiped out, hard-working men and women, black farmers, white farmers out there in the Midwest who worked day and night to do the right thing. And a farmer is one of the most hard-working man and woman out there in this country. They work 7 days a week. There's no taking vacations, you know. The cattle and the cows and the chickens and the hogs and the animals depend upon you, and the farm depends upon your labor to make it, you know. And the people depend on you to provide this food, and you're one, and because food is the most important thing we have to have other than money to buy the food. So, Mike. You saw the devastation out there in Wisconsin. So,
it's happening. I mean, farms are, our paper every week is getting fuller and fuller of auctions, you know. And today there was a big auction, I'd say 5 miles from me. It was a huge greenhouse company that you know, that grew plants for planting and you know, tomatoes and peppers and cabbage and, you know, all those things. They grew the plants for, you know, regular people to buy, but they also were doing it commercially. And they had to go out of business. And
wow.
It's like, you know, what's going to happen? Pretty soon the
Okay, they went out of business, but why? Why did they have to go out of business? Tell us the problem. And what could we have done to change the problem? You see, we all acknowledge the problems we see, and we all complain. And I'm not criticizing you. I'm not criticizing the last part, anybody. We all see what's going on. Do we have any solutions to these problems? And so why did these people go out of business, Mike? Why?
You tell the truth, I don't really know, because, you know, I don't understand why they would. I mean, you know, you still have vegetable growers in the United States, and, you know, you still have, you know, people.
Was it because of the taxes and regulations that were put on them? Where they couldn't make a profit?
Probably with Walker in, that probably it could, you know, has something to do with it. But, you know, the thing you got to sit and think about is, now, okay, if that place goes out of business and they supplied, let's say, you know, a couple hundred farmers in the state of Wisconsin with tomato plants and, you know, what have you, now all of a sudden those farmers can't get these plants, okay? Now they have to go somewhere else to get them. So it
okay.
means they probably,
okay.
They probably,
okay, Mike, okay. Well, Mike, real quick, where do they have to go to get them?
Well, that's what I'm just going to say. They have to get them either out of the state, you know, or you know, from someone else. I mean, you buy local, it's a lot cheaper. You know, if you got to,
right.
we got to buy plants from Mexico or, you know, Arizona or California or something, have them shipped all the way to Wisconsin. You know, we're going to be paying premiums, and how are they going to survive? You know,
you're absolutely correct. And that's one thing I want to say, Mike, also, you see the Midwestern people, what do? You take care of your local. And that's, you're a great caller for that, Mike. And like the last caller, you know, you look at the inner cities, which are predominantly, what, minority people, the Hispanics and the Mexicans and the blacks. What do? They try to buy local, take care of their own people, even though their neighborhoods are flooded with the drugs and everything else that the criminal government overflows. We all know that. They promote abortion in those communities. We know that. Well, where are most abortion clinics in the minority communities? And most people don't understand that or understand why, but they ignore it. So, you know, yeah, you're absolutely correct, Mike.
Well,
but,
you know,
Mike, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Getting back to the election here, you know, I never knew, and maybe I'm ignorant, but I never knew that the convention can just change their rules, like snap, snap, snap. You know, and it's like, you know, in my opinion, we should go back to the whoever gets the most votes wins. Delegates don't mean, in my opinion, they don't mean nothing. You know what I mean?
We've asked. The captain on his show asked someone to come on and explain the delegate process. Who the hell are these delegates? Who are they? What's a delegate? What do you walk around saying I'm a delegate? You know, I mean, who are these? What is a delegate? I mean, is this a group of people who are bought off and paid off? Obviously, because they even admitted on the news where they could be wined and dined to convince to vote for another group. Or another individual who's running in the party. They've openly admitted this on the news media, and I think that's what's enraged a lot of people. And you heard our last caller. He's a Trump supporter. And I believe Trump really is supported by the majority of the people around this country. I believe the media plays a different role. I believe they're trying to convince us he's not. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I wanted so bad to do so many exit polls on this program. And the Cap and I tried it, where we want to get registered voters. And we want to know who you're voting for, because we want to do our own election. We want to call 100 people and see how many out of those 100 people actually voted for Trump
or Hillary, and that's what we want to do in the future, because we want, because even if it's only out of 100, that still shows a general recollection of what, or reflection, excuse me, of what the rest of the country really is voting for. You understand what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they don't want Trump because, first of all, he uses his own money. You can't buy a favor.
You can't buy him. Yeah, you can't buy him off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, so now it's like, you know, they said on the news last night that the DNC has $100 million worth of TV commercials ready to go against Donald Trump.
Wow.
I don't know when they're going to do it. I don't know when they're going to start it, but they got $100 million scheduled to bombard, you know, Trump. And it's like, you know, this is what's unfair about this country.
You're absolutely correct, Mike. You're absolutely correct. And I know you're a former dairy farmer. You were pushed out of the business, so you know. And the last caller that called in, what he said about college professors was actually brilliant, because I experienced that, so I know he's telling the truth. And if there's anyone else who wants to chip in real quick tonight, because we're going to start getting ready to wrap it up, you need to do is press 1 now, phone number 657-383-0616. If you have a question or you want to contribute, you need to do it now, or we're going to start getting ready to wrap it up. And the next show will be on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when the program is. If you can't make it during the for the show time, for reasons maybe you're at work or you had something come up, you can always go back and listen. You go to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. And you will get the show. And the show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. And my callers tonight were absolutely spectacular. You contributed in a very educational and superb way. Mike out in Wisconsin and the other caller I had. I didn't get his name, but hopefully he'll call in the future. I really do. Because he had a lot to contribute. And that's what this show is about. Exactly what that last caller and you, Mike, contributed to this program. And that's what I offer to everyone. Hey, if you have something you want to talk about, you want to give your opinion, and look, even if you disagree with the platform of this show, you're more than welcome to call in, but you're probably going to be outnumbered in argument-wise, but you're welcome to voice your opinion. Everyone has a right to voice their opinion. It does not mean we need to take your opinion as a factual foundation on the way we should live every day. And that's what people need to understand. But happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. That's important because today's Mother's Day. And like I said, this is the last chance. Anyone else who wants to check in? I had two others on the line, but they dropped out. So if you want to press 1 real quick, you can. If not, we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap it up. So I want to say God bless everybody, and thank you for the participant tonight, because without you, there is no show. It's not about me. It's not about what I say. It's about what you say. That's what's important, and I respect your opinions, and I respect what you have to say, okay? So God bless everyone. Take care.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs have